that's going to be most expensive.
I saw her in the.
It turned red?
Yes.
Okay, great.
I've got the red and the green light on.
I guess two's better than one.
There's a sign-in sheet going around if y'all want to crash or you can sign in.
Am I at Cypress? In the mornings, yes. In the evenings, I'm here. I do feel great in the mornings. It's a lot of fun. You are. Okay, awesome. So are you directing or are you teaching? Okay. Dean went to see him as well? Okay, well, they were driving in. Wow. Okay, so then what happened to the class that you guys had begun there? Here.
It's flourishing.
It's doing great.
Okay, so do I need to go over here? No?
I'm going to do this, Greg. Pastor Greg, so sitting in this chair. That's fine. All right, I'm going to get started. So thanks for being here. Obviously, this is how to. Using technology effectively in a life Bible study, and why don't I go ahead and just show you a, I get my slides to work here. Let me show you a roadmap of kind of what we're going to talk about tonight, because I want to make sure that's not working. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so what I'm hoping to accomplish is to talk about different ways, different areas that we can use technology to be effective in life Bible study. I'm going to walk through some tools in different categories, communication tools, email, that's mainly what that is, sign-up tools, podcasts, websites, and other miscellaneous tools. I'm going to walk through them pretty quickly, kind of give some pros and cons. I'm going to do a few demos along the way as we have time, and as I'm going through some of these, feel free to ask a question. Like I mentioned, I have a lot of slides, so try to keep them brief and I can answer more at the end, because I plan on doing some Q&A at the end. I'll do some more demos, and then there's a little thing I want to talk about, just kind of some thoughts about use of technology. So also, I want to mention that after midnight, this slide, if you want to write this down, you can go to this address, and my slide deck is here, since there's a lot of information and a lot of URLs that I'm going to throw out, a lot of tools, so it's good to go and look there. And then that's my email address if you want to email me with any additional questions. So let's get right to it. First of all, before I start, I'll just tell you kind of my background in using technology in life policy. About 5 years ago, my wife and I were asked to help out with attendance in our life Bible study, and we started to get involved with that. And it wasn't long before I realized that we really needed some, you know, organization, and it was really chaotic keeping multiple lists and trying to keep everything in sync. And you know, we had to report. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going? We had to report attendance to the church system, and then we also had our own little Excel spreadsheet for our own purposes. And then we had, you know, evites that went out with old email lists, and it was hard to manage, and so it was frustrating. So being a software developer, I was like, okay, I gotta figure this out. I gotta, you know, simplify this. So we started experimenting with some tools and trying to bring some structure and some, structure to the chaos. And so some of these tools are kind of what I've worked with and I think that are helpful. And so I'm hoping to communicate just tidbits that you can chew on, you can take, and you can look into more. You know, I can't go really deep on some of these things, but at least, you know, I'm hoping 80% of the help is going to be awareness that these tools exist and that you can use them for certain purposes. So I think it's important to think about using technology in the three different areas of life Bible study, because sometimes it's easy to kind of think about using it for only one area. So I think community is really important, so we can help the people in the class to connect, to be able to get in contact with each other. If they're bringing a meal, like, where do they live? Like, how do I, you know, get the meal to them? You know, just letting them connect and see photos in their faces so they know when they see them on Sunday morning. who they are. I think technology can be really useful for that. Just effectiveness with leadership, administrative type duties, you know, being more productive, allowing communication to go out. This is pretty obvious, but just kind of keeping track of lists and, you know, communicating with leadership. How do we communicate with the other leadership in the class as to, you know, what we're doing and getting everybody on board, and is everybody, you know, all the volunteers that have signed up for helping under various weeks, do they know they're going to help, and how do we keep track of everything and keep everybody on the same page? And then, of course, outreach. There's different things that I'm going to talk about that can really help with outreach to visitors, and some of that is going to be just having a presence on the web. Some of it's going to be podcasts so that people can listen to, you know, a lesson from Sunday morning somebody that might not want to come to a Light Bulb study, they might listen and say, hey, that's okay. I think I could come listen to that. So there's some other tools like that. So I think thinking about technology in those three different uses is good, and it won't box you into one area. I do want to point out some cautions when it comes to technology. It's easy to default to just, you know, it's 2015, let's just use technology, let's use the internet, let's use whatever tools out there because that's just what we do, right? But I think we need to remember that, you know, a lot of these technology tools, mostly on the web, you know, they reduce FaceTime, you know, and so it's easy just to kind of fire off emails and various things and not really, you know, have touch communication, face-to-face communication. I think that's important. I think we need to remember that we should use these tools and technology in tandem with face-to-face interactions. Also, 80-20 reach, that's just my way of saying that, you know, 80% of the people in a Life Bible study, this is totally arbitrary, but 80% of the people are going to be, you know, up, maybe on the up and up, depending upon the Life Bible study and everything, but are going to be, like, on board with, you know, the technology and kind of what's coming to them in their inbox or using the, you know, the internet, because most of the tools I'm going to talk about are the internet, but you need to remember there are the 20% that don't, and so you don't want to leave them out. So you want to think about ways that you can use technology in tandem with other means of ministry and just reach out to other people in those ways, such as having, you know, an example of that would be like having a bulletin board with pictures, so when they come to Life Bible, they can see the pictures. It's not just on a website somewhere. Things like that, and saying, you know, hi, how's it going? You know, it's good to see you, and did you get that invitation I sent you? Something else is technology can sometimes cause us to think inside the box a little bit and not think of different ways and creative ways to do things, because we just kind of get into our rhythm of like, okay, we have an event coming up, we'll send out an invite, or we'll do this little sign up, and it kind of prevents us from being creative in some ways. And then also it can be a distraction. You know, you have a lot of stuff being thrown at you, and it just kind of blends in with the rest of the noise. So I think we need to be careful about how we use it, and those are just some things to consider. So the first thing I want to talk about, or the first area, is communication tools. Most of the uses for these are pretty obvious, but you know, we can communicate. When I say communication, I'm talking about pushing, you know, usually that's email, but pushing things to the people, our members and visitors in the class. So prayer requests, that's a great thing to send through email. You know, and it's something else you have to consider, that people, there might be some sensitive requests, you know, so maybe on a sign-up sheet that you pass around, maybe put something on there saying, hey, we send these out, or mention that just so that people understand. Sign-up reminders, so if people are signing up to bring breakfast, or they're signing up to bring a meal, I think a good use is to send reminders. I found that to be very effective. Upcoming events, whether that be a social or fellowship opportunity, and then obviously mission and ministry opportunities. Our class has adopted a missionary in South Sudan, and so we send updates, and that's a really good way to communicate those things to our class. So some tips that I've kind of learned along the way that I want to share are to use segmentation whenever you're sending things out. So send things to the men if it's a men's event, or send things to women. I find that's very effective. Otherwise, things just kind of blend all together, and it's just a class email, and it's about a women's event, and I'm just going to start, you know, filtering things. You know, so just segment the list. Keep a master list that your leadership uses so that you don't have multiple copies floating around. And I'll show some techniques to help that in just a minute. I know that was a problem for us. We used to email a Excel spreadsheet around, and if you didn't have the latest and greatest, you had people on there that had asked to be removed months ago, or you didn't include the visitor that just came to class, which was unfortunate. So think about email versus social media. You know, a lot of people use social media, especially next generation or so, or Generation X. So you gotta realize that people are on social media, but not everybody. So just kind of, I think, you know, a basic email is a good start, and social media is like icing on the cake. That's the approach I usually take. BCC, when you send emails, BCC, because reply all can really make things. Yes, but people reply all, and then
it's like group text.
People stop.
Just stop it now.
Right, and then they. I think everybody knows the problem, so I think it's important to BCC. Mm-hmm. And these things you should communicate to other leadership in your class. You know, make sure everybody's on board with that. Removal process. I think this is a little overlooked sometimes, but sometimes it's a little awkward. Somebody can get on an email list. They visited the class once, and then they're perpetually on a list for 2 years. You know, just make sure that it's easy and you communicate, like, how do I get off of this thing, and make sure that, you know, the master. If you have a master list, that's easier to manage. And then prevent bottlenecks. What I mean by that is, you know, if you have an events coordinator in your class, they need to send out a list of, you know, maybe an e-bite or a punch bowl or something like that. You know, I think having access to that master list for them readily available is great, so they don't have to go to like a single person that has the master list and then wait 3 days, and that could just be frustrating. So I think. Think about ways to make a master copy of addresses available. You can use a common account for the leadership, like a Google account, for instance, or just kind of common accounts with common logins. I think is a good way to share, obviously, trusted access. And then access control. So this one's kind of related to BCCs, but I've had actually two situations in the last 5 years where there was, you know, someone that had access to an email list, and they sent out emails that were, you know, not the kind of emails I'm going to be sending out, just kind of divisive things. So just think about that. I think it's overlooked sometimes, but I think it's important to make sure that people who have those lists are trusted and they're part of your leadership team. So the first communication tool I want to talk about is MailChimp. MailChimp is... it was set up originally for email marketing campaigns, which that might be a little bit of a, you know, kind of a question mark, but actually it works really well for sending emails to a group. There's a lot of features that you might not necessarily want to use for a light bulb study, but it's easy to have lists of people. It's easy to segment those lists. You can have a list of 20 people, and you can specify that 20 of these are on a segment. They call them segments of men, and there's another segment for women, and there's a segment for leadership. And so you can easily start a new, they call it a campaign, but it's like an email, and you can say, send this to the men, or send this to the women, and they have tracking, so you know, like, if people are opening the email, and you need to make an extra special announcement because only two people opened it, you know, things like that. So it's a good tool. It's free for up to, you know, like, 500 emails a month, so it's perfect for a live Bible study situation.
I think, just to clarify on that, it's free. It's free to emails, but they count every person you send an email to as an email. So I think I calculated it out, it's like 14,000 sends a month.
For free. Gotcha.
Oh. So, but if you have... For example, the issue I have is that I have 400 people on my listserv.
I see.
So that means I'm actually limited to how many emails I can send out in a month. And you don't want to spam people, but there can be barriers with that.
I got cut off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
With MailChimp?
No, I mean with Gmail.
Oh, I see. So many emails.
Will it personalize?
Yeah.
So when you put together a list, it's like it's only going to the recipient's name?
It'll send
Does it make you feel like you're getting a personal email?
Yes. It doesn't put like the entire list on there or whatever. It says to. It'll send individual emails that have you as the recipient. One of the nice things about MailChimp is it has social media integration built into it. So you can go into the settings and you can connect it with Facebook connect it with Twitter. And when you send the email campaign, it'll automatically post something on your Facebook group or page saying, hey, there's a new message from this Life Bible study, and click it and it'll show the content of the email. So it's a really nice way to kind of bridge the gap between email and social media. Another approach, this is a totally different tool, Google Groups. This is an oldie but goodie. Google Groups is a great way to manage emails that go out to the class. It's been around a long time, and the concept is, you know, you mentioned listserv, but it's basically an old school way to just keep all emails in one place. And there are some interesting pros and cons with Google Groups. If you haven't used it, basically it's nice because people can just send an email to an address. And it can go out to the entire list, and you can control like approval processes. So you know, if you want to make sure you want the email to go through, you can let it through. It's easy for people to auto unsubscribe. They just, you know, at the bottom of every email it says reply with remove in the subject, and it automatically manages the removal process and the adding process. So you don't have to constantly keep track of, you know, have I updated the list for the three visitors that came last Sunday? It's kind of automatic. You just tell people, hey. You know, go send an email to this address and you'll be on our list. So that's Google Groups. Oh yeah, there was one other thing I wanted to mention about Google Groups. Some downsides, it's pretty good with spam, but every once in a while some spam will get through, which is really bad. But you can set it up so that no emails will go through unless you approve them. Which for a Life Bible study, it's not like you're sending hundreds of emails, right? So it's manageable to do that approval process. And it also supports importing lists, so you can kind of preload it with your class list pretty easily. And then the other tool is just plain old email. So I think it's worth mentioning because it's still a valid tool to send to the class. It's simple. It's easy to send things out, but there are some obvious drawbacks. And one of the reasons I want to highlight this is kind of to mention the drawbacks. The removal of emails is a manual process. You know, somebody replies to that email and they say, hey, take me off the list. And if nobody looked at it, or they just forgot about it, or they assume somebody else did it, then that kind of slips through the crack and can make some people upset. And also, it's kind of not easy to get other leadership to use that email, because you would have to create a common account and then make sure they have access to the master list and then send. So there's like a process to get the email out. That's why I like tools like MailChimp or Google Groups, where it's just much more automated. But I think email is still fine as long as it's used correctly. So I want to mention something, especially whenever you're using a lot of these online services and you're sending, you know, lists of, you need email lists, you know, to send to various people in your class. One of the frustrations that I had when I was starting to do this was just like getting the list and the format to copy and paste into Evite or whatever, and I would spend hours just trying to get it to work. So I'm a really big fan of using Google Sheets, and there's a really handy function on Google Sheets, and you can only do this with Google Sheets. You could actually do it with Excel, but you have to jump through hoops actually. So it's this little function called Join, and you can, I mean, it's pretty simple, but if you have a list, a row, you know, rows of email addresses, you can it's called concatenation. You can concatenate them together using any, right here, the first parameter is a semicolon, but it could be a comma, it could be a space, or whatever, and then it'll take all of this and collapse it into one row, so you can copy-paste that. And you could have this function run across, you know, 500 rows, so every time you add an email address, this is always updated and ready to be copy-pasted into an email or copy-pasted into, you know, the next thing that you're trying to send out. So I know I went over that really quickly, but, you know, again, 90% is just awareness. There's Google Sheets, it's really handy, and I think it saves a lot of time. So I want to talk about Arena. So how many people in here use Arena for have access and use the arena. Okay, it's a church system for managing it's our church membership system, and the directors in each life level study have access to arena. I believe in some cases they'll give access to additional people, but I think it's generally just for the directors. So it's pretty guarded. But I want to talk about a way to easily export the data out of Arena into Google Sheets so that you can easily do join functions and make it shareable. Trusted access, again, you know, people's information is sensitive. If you want to learn more about Arena, there's a session on the third session. Belinda Cox from the Membership Services in room 262, she's going to give more information about Arena in an in-depth overview. But whenever I started using Arena, the first thing that I came across was exporting the data was not straightforward unless you had Microsoft Excel. And so I don't use Microsoft Excel. Some people do, some people don't. But I just wanted to point out that, we'll see, I wanted to quickly show this. And if you don't have, and if you don't have access to Arena, and after I'm talking about this, you know, you think that it would be a good tool to obviously have access to, then I maybe you can talk to the director in class if you're not the director, and then they can do a case by case access. So if I log in, let's see. So when you log in, you click Group Leader Toolbox on the left side, and this is my class. I'm gonna go in here, and when you pull up the list on the bottom right, it's kind of hard to see, but there's a big Excel button. If you click that, it downloads an XLS file that'll open in Microsoft Excel. The newer versions of Excel, if you have an older version of Excel, actually like 2003, it won't open it. But I want to show, if I'm going back to, this is Google Sheets, so if I open a new Google Sheet, it's an Excel format, but I want to get into Google Sheets. There's a little trick, and I put this on the slides, so don't worry about it, you know, you can go look at the slides, but I'm going to rename the file to HTML, it's on the slides. So if you rename the file to HTML, and then you open it, in your web browser, and then you can select all, Control A, Control C, or on a Mac, it's Command C, Command A, Command C, copy, and then you go to a spreadsheet, and then paste it. Control C, and it'll show up. And then you can use the join function. So you can grab your list of columns, you can filter sort men, women, you could run the join filter so that you're easily able to get the latest and greatest export out of there. Does that make sense? I know that's real quick, but okay. I'm gonna go back here. I mainly just want to point out it's possible. It took me a little while to figure it out. Let me go back there. Okay, so some other honorable mention tools that I want to put on here for communication would be uh, Honorable mention tools, Yahoo Groups, similar to Google Groups, Email Dodo, Constant Contact, and Eye Contact. Constant Contact and Eye Contact are similar to MailChimp. They're kind of like email marketing-ish, but I believe they don't have free plans. Eye Contact might. They have pros and cons, but I think MailChimp's the best. And then, of course, you can communicate through Facebook and Twitter, but again, not everybody's going to get those. So I think those would be just kind of icing on the cake. So now let's talk about sign-up tools. Uses, obviously social events, Evite's kind of the classic example. Post baby meals, it's a great way to use online sign up tool, you know, for care meals if someone's sick in the hospital, obviously. Breakfast, I think this is often overlooked, but different volunteer opportunities within your class, it could be a little bit of a burden to kind of keep track of, like, okay, who's up on Sunday, who's greeting, who's doing breakfast, who's, you know, use one of these online tools for the volunteers. You know, even if it's only like four people that are on a rotating basis, you know, sign them up or get them to sign up so that email reminders go out and everything is managed and they can go to that sign up list at any time and it's very clear, oh yeah, our week is next week or it's the following week. I think it's really useful to use these for volunteer, you know, scenarios in your class. And then, yeah, I mentioned that volunteer rotations and breakfast is kind of an example of that. So some tips that I've learned along the way, again, use a master list whenever you're setting up these sign-up, you know, email lists. Beware of service fragmentation. So what I mean by that is using Evite for like a fellowship or social and then using another site like MealTrain, which I'll cover for meals, and then using another site for like volunteer. Like it can be a little bit cumbersome to have a lot of different services for things and people have to set up accounts for each of them and they forget. So I think minimize the ones you use and try to use one, I think is a good tip. Email reminders, very effective. I think you should always turn them on when you're setting one up for you know, so that they go out. 2 days I found is a really good time to send a reminder. So it'll go out, like if someone's, you know, signed up to bring breakfast, it'll go out on Friday, which is, you know, a good time to remember. And then, use multiple mediums. And so what I mean by this is, you know, again, back to the 80-20, not everybody is on the interweb, okay? You know, people, you know, depending upon the class and who it is, it just might not work for them. So I think a tip is to, for instance, like breakfast signups or post-baby meal signup or something, pass a clipboard around on Sunday morning. You know, get people to sign up for breakfast. Put the slots on there. After class, who's ever in charge of the breakfast signups or whatever, take that list and go update the online signup. That way the online signup is the master signup, if you will. People can go to the website or they can sign up in class. That way you have a central location and it's all centralized. You don't have multiple lists to keep track of. I found that to be very effective. So one of the sign-up services I want to talk about is MealTrain. MealTrain does obviously meals for care meals, post-baby meals. It does a really good job of meals because it's kind of made for meals, and so it's got all the little features that are, you know, that you would expect to have for recurrence. You know, like, do you want to repeat this every other day? You know, put food allergies on there. It has boxes for everything. It works really great for that. I just kind of want to throw it out there if you weren't aware of it, but it's a good. It's a good tool. Sign-up Genius, I really like this one. This is probably my recommended sign-up tool because it's kind of a jack of all trades, if you will. It can do things that Evite would do. It can do things that MealTrain would do. But it's kind of this is our class's event system. You know, we use Sign-up Genius, and so that. When they create an account, that's what they always use. It's nice because you can create themes and you can create recurrence. So if it's a meal, you can set it up to be every other day for 2 weeks. It does a good job. Unfortunately, it's got, you know, a lot of ads along the way because it's a free tool. It's a little annoying, but some of these tools are just kind of the way they are. The themes aren't the best, but, you know, you can do different themes for different, like, you know, theme for a meal or a theme for an event and things like that. So highly recommend it. I think it's a great tool. I've used it, and I think it does a good job. Volunteer Spot, This is another one. It's similar to SignUp Genius. I think it's worth taking a look at. It's got a few more features, actually. A little more fine-grained control of the way that email reminders are sent. The text that's sent in the reminder, you can customize you know, what you're going to say to those that are going to bring breakfast, for instance, or the event that's coming up on Friday. I think this is kind of like SignUp Genius Advanced. I think it's worth checking out. Again, there's a lot of ads, but I think between SignUp Genius and Volunteer Spot, I think one of those tools is great to use. Honorable mention, Paperless Post. It's paperlesspost.com. This one's really neat because I talked a little bit earlier about, you know, kind of just defaulting to technology. This is nice because you can set up a paper and a digital event. So, you know, if you have like a Christmas party in your class coming up, it's an easy way to create a really good looking invitation, and those will be sent out through physical mail and there'll be an online version. So it's a nice way to kind of to do like a physical corresponding invitation. I've never used it, but I've heard about it and looked at the website. I think it's a great thing to consider. There's also Smilebox, and then of course Evite and Punchbowl for events. Evite and Punchbowl, they're not so great for like recurring events where you have meals or you're trying to use it for breakfast signups. Evites are really good for like a one-time event. And so that's why I like to kind of use SignUp Genius or something like that. But everybody likes Evite, so kind of just have to figure that out. But there's the service fragmentation thing. Are there any questions on the signups? Okay.
Okay. Have you ever used Google signups? Like Google creating a signup form, I guess a form to fill out through Google Docs?
I have used Google Forms, but whenever you click the submit, it like puts it on a Google Sheet for responses. I have used it, but I've never used it for a signup scenario. But I think it seems like it would work because you could customize, you know, the information you want them to
right.
put in there, which would be really nice. Yeah, so that's another one to check out. It's just another Google tool. It's called Google Forms.
Yeah, Google Forms.
Okay, so it's pretty easy to set up, and it allows you to just customize the form. Whenever people submit it, all the responses are on a nice little Google Sheet list, so you can kind of see who signed up.
I think the issue would be is you can't promptly pick your time so you don't overlap.
Yeah.
Because like if you wanted to sign up and say we need people to sign up for this day and this day. You can list the days, they'll pick this day, they pick this day, and they all might pick the same day.
That's true, that could be a problem. Particularly for like meal signups.
I don't know how it works when you submit, if you have a forming that doesn't check, but.
Yeah. Well, it could be a good problem to have. I mean,
yeah.
if somebody brought me three meals in one night, I'm just going to
bring zero to the next six.
More the merrier, right?
It might be a problem.
Okay, so I want to talk about podcasts, and this is probably the one that might be a little bit out there a little bit, but. Bear with me. I want to explain and the reasons why, and that it's actually pretty easy. And I think it's something to definitely consider for your tool chest of technology in the Life Bible Study. So why? Why would we do a podcast? When I say podcast, it's like recording Sunday morning lesson available for people to download to listen to. Just the idea of that is a little scary. Sometimes it's like, what would I do and all that. But let's talk about the why. So when people are absent, they can listen to the lesson. You know, the teachers put a lot of time into preparing for these lessons and to, speaking God's word to the class, and they're shepherding the class. And so whenever when people are absent for whatever reason, you know, it's really nice for them just to log in and hear the next, hear James 3. They heard James 2 last week. And so you have continuity in the lesson, in the teaching. Teacher review, teachers, I don't teach on a regular basis, but the teachers that I talk to, they really like to review and listen to what they taught the week before. I think it's effective for helping them to get better, to listen to, oh, I forgot to say that, or I did say that, and I could have delivered this better, you know, just to tighten the skill and to hone it in. And then also co-teacher review, so if you have two teachers, three teachers in a class, sometimes one will be out when the other one's there, and they're supposed to be speaking on the next chapter of James. You know, if they can review what the other teacher talked about, they're not going to be as likely to overlap, and what they deliver is going to be more targeted and effective. And then, of course, outreach. I mentioned that earlier. I think having a podcast available is a unique way to do outreach. You know, that friend, that coworker, that the idea of them coming to live Bible study probably seems foreign, but just send them a link. Say, hey, you know, we have a list of our Sunday morning lessons. Just go check it out on your own time, and just listen to one. I challenge you, just listen to one with an open mind and see what you think. I think that's a really low risk, easy way just to, you know, let them hear the word of God without them having to like physically step into a church, which can be really scary. And I think that can open the door for them to actually want to come and to be at a life Bible study in person. So, some tips. Many LBS rooms in this church have recording devices, if not all. I think they all do. There's one in this room back there, and it's recording right now. These recording devices are really good. They're very high quality. The microphone for this one is right up there in the middle. It's that small little dot. This is high-end quality recording device. So, I mean, it's really good. So, you know, it's something that a lot of people don't take advantage of, but I think, you know, if you can find somebody in your life Bible study that, you know, would be interested in just kind of owning that, you know, maybe they're technically inclined, or that, you know, you can say, hey, can you start recording using this device and learn how to use it? And, you know, somebody's going to love to take that and just run with it. And I think it's definitely something, if you're in leadership, you should delegate that for sure, because it can be a little distracting on Sunday morning trying to get it all set up and everything. But, you know, somebody in your class would really love to do that. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. It's very easy to record on a smartphone. There's lots of apps to do it. Something that you don't usually think of, but a smartphone can easily record an hour of content with no problem. And like I mentioned, find somebody to own this. I think this is a good thing to delegate to a volunteer in the class. And then publish it on iTunes and Facebook. Some of these tools that I'm going to show you allow that pretty easily, but it's very easy to get something kind of list, you know, shown in iTunes, which is kind of cool because people can, you know, get it on their iPod or their iPhone or their Android device or whatever, like in the car, right? It's already there. It's ready. They can listen to it on their commute, or pull it up on Facebook, where a lot of people probably are. Okay, so the recording device. I won't go too much in this. This is what it looks like. Don't be scared of it. It's not that bad. It looks scary, but let me just give you like a 10,000 foot overview. This thing on the top needs to be turned on. There's a button on the back of it. You have to flip the switch, and this little green power button or power light should be on. This is actually what the microphone feeds into. It's the amp. So if that's not on, there's not gonna be any sound. This takes the sound from the microphone and sends it to this big block, which is the recording device. These recording devices are really neat because you can stick right there. There's a CD tray. You stick a CD in there, it'll pop up. It's really easy, and you just hit the record button. By default, it'll be like in record pause mode. So it'll be kind of, you know, hit record, and then it's ready. And then you press play, and then a little counter will start counting, and you'll know that it's actually recording. Something else, I have a USB stick in here. That's what I prefer, because you don't have to buy a bunch of CD-ROMs that, you know, you're just wasting money on. So just stick a USB stick in there. It'll record an MP3 straight there, and then you can take that file and upload it to another tool that I'm going to show you. So when you open the cabinets in these doors, there's instructions. Most people don't know there's instructions. They just look at them and they're like, I don't know what that thing is. I'm not going to use it. Instructions are actually pretty good. And it's not like, there's 7 steps. You could just take, you know, 10 or 15 minutes after class and grab somebody that might want to do this, or, you know, as a leader in your class, maybe just kind of figure it out on your own so that you know, and you can, you know, pass that on and say, hey, this is easy to do. Let's do it. You know, I mentioned some of the steps, but you just walk through it, and it's pretty straightforward. You have to remember to, if you're using a CD, you have to remember to finalize it at the end, or it won't work. So that's a very important step 6, to finalize. Just the way CDs work. Okay, so that's the room recording device. Android, for smartphone recording, there's a great app called Smart Voice Recorder. It's the one I used it for a while. It's a great app. it picks up sound really well, although that's kind of the phone. But so you just pull it up, it's really easy, and then you just hit the big red button to start recording, and then you hit the button again to stop. Once it's done, you can tell it to share. Since the file for an hour is pretty big, it's usually kind of hard to email that. So what I usually do is I use something like Dropbox as one of the options, so you just kind of send it somewhere. I recommend just like putting it in Dropbox or putting it on Google Drive or just getting it somewhere so that you can use the tool that I'm about to show you to get the file into the system so that it'll be available online. For iOS, there's a free app called Voice Record Pro. It'll come up. This one's very pretty. iOS. It's got a nice little, what are those things called? Anyway, simple, same thing. Hit record down here, stop, and then you can share it. Google Drive, Dropbox, things like that. Okay, so once you've recorded the file, which is usually the output is going to be an MP3 unless it's on a CD, but let's just assume that you used a stick drive because it's going to be easier. Just use a USB drive in these things. Or you used your phone and you send it to Dropbox. You're going to have an MP3 file. I recommend a website called Podomatic.com. You go here, you set up your account, you put your, you know, this is our Black Ball Study logo right here if you have a logo. You know, you set up some information about your podcast, the teacher's names, things like that. And then you can just upload episodes and then it'll give you a public URL that you can share with your class, send it out to your class and say, hey, this is our podcast, you know, just go here and you can get last week's lesson. And it's very easy. And then there's a lot of help in here that allows you to get the link so that you can send it to iTunes, so it'll be in the, you know, the podcast directory, and there's a lot of help. It's very easy to use. But yeah, it's pretty easy to do. And it's free, and a lot of the free podcasts a lot of the free podcast tools have limits on the length of the file that you can upload, and it's usually like a duration of the sound. But Podomatic is great because it'll allow up to, I think it's 70 minutes or 75, but it's enough for like a Sunday morning hour or less podcast. So I think it's a good tool for that for sure. Okay, so I'm going to talk about a different tool. I really like this tool. I think it's a very easy way to handle podcasting. So it's called iPatio. But it's basically a all-in-one, you know, get somebody in your class to volunteer and be like, okay, you're the iPatio guy or the iPatio gal. So you download this app. There's an iOS version, there's an Android version. What you do is you just sign in. You have to, one thing I will mention, when you're first getting set up with that patio, you really need to use a desktop browser to kind of get all the settings, you know, figured out and put the name of the group and things like that. But let me show you how easy it is. So, there we go. Okay. Okay, so you open up the app, click audio, big red button, easy. Push the button. This is Midnight Madness. Effective use of technology and LBS.
I just can't hear anybody talk. I should go over there. Can't hear anybody talking.
This is Jamie in the background. Yeah, we have a nice.
That's what she just yelled.
A nice neighbor next door. Okay, so we have some audio. I'm gonna hit pause. Bottom, there's an upload now button. Click upload now. I type Midnight Madness. Put a little summary there. Go up, hit upload now again. It's gonna start uploading. And then, I'm gonna open my Facebook, which whenever I set up iPatio, I told it to connect to my Facebook page, so it has a lot of social integrations, Twitter, Facebook. You know. Dog, what is this dog?
We should have so much fun right now.
Okay, so now if I go to my profile. So that's, I spelled midnight wrong. How did I do that? Anyway, so.
Push the button. This is Midnight Menace.
It opened another tool, but this is what it did. So I clicked record, stop, put a title, clicked upload, and then I left class and went to lunch. It's easy. It's available. Oh, and there's a public URL. Very simple. Okay.
So where else could you put that? I'm really beginning all this. So if I didn't want to put it on Facebook, I could put it on...
Yeah, there's... actually, I'm logged in, so I can show you. There's... this is their... Oh, wait. I'm not on the...
Is it good enough to have picked his voice up in the back of the room?
I think so. I could play it again.
Can you just send it to the members? Can you like email it? Can you send it to
Night Madness? Effective use of technology and OBS. You know, just
like it's picking up the background.
This is that was just from right here. Yeah, we have a nice neighbor next door. Okay, so we have some audio.
Pretty good. Yeah. You know, and if you have whoever's doing it can sit on the front row until it's close.
That's cool.
So I go here. Okay. Actually, I'll tell you what, I'll come back to that. You can do it. There's a lot of social media integration. You can tell it to auto post to Twitter, auto post to Facebook. I think you can do email automatically. You have to set up an email list. I'm not sure exactly on that part, but there's definitely a lot of little integrations at the bottom that makes it easy to do.
That's really neat.
Yeah. Okay. Just for sake of time, I'm gonna keep going. Okay. So we have 8:45. I still want to have a little time for questions and then have time for y'all to be able to get to the next session. I'm gonna go through this really quick. So this section is just some tools for like class websites. So this kind of brings everything together. A lot of these other tools are just kind of one-off, like for signups or this. So some of these website tools can do everything, and so I think they're good to evaluate for doing everything. Some of the one-off tools I mentioned before, like SignUp Genius, is really good for signups, and some of these websites do signups, but it's not as good. But it might be good enough for your class. So I think they're worth considering. So, you know, you can use websites for signups, email, calendar, to put your podcasts on, to post your prayer requests. You can have like a log of the prayer requests so people can look back and see prayer requests that have been answered. And then also member connections. Some of these tools have the ability to, you know, if people want to, they can post their, you know, contact information, and it's only available if you log in and have an account. The first one I really like, it's called Group Spaces. This is a free tool. It's very simple. It's not the best looking tool, but I think it works really well. It's really tailored for groups, obviously Group Space. But it has everything you would need. You know, you can put news, so maybe prayer requests would be a good place to put that, just kind of copy paste those there. You could put events, so this is a breakfast sign-up event that I did. You know, you can click register and it tells how many people are attending. It does events pretty good. And then members tab, that's where people can post their contact information so people can get their emails or figure out how to, you know, meet up for a play date with the kids or something. Maybe you can post photos and files. And one of the nice things about Group Spaces is whenever you put the member list in there, you can send emails from Group Spaces, and you can do the same thing you do in MailChimp with list segmentation. So I can specify that these are the men, these are the women, this is the leadership, and I can easily send out an email from Group Spaces to those individual lists. And so it's nice that everything is just kind of together, and it's a single list, and it's a single place for everyone. I mentioned Does
it just do emails? Does it, can it send texts or like to like send messages directly to the phone?
I don't think it will do texts, no.
You probably could put their email address for their text. There's
there's a way to do that, but you have to know their carrier.
Because it's like, you know, mobile, whatever it is for AT&T,
Verizon
has one, you can
cheat
it and just do that and over.
Yeah. So the next one I want to mention is,
does it support multiple email addresses, do you know?
For a single person?
Yeah.
I think so. I'm not certain, but I think it does.
It does, because you could do it that way.
Yeah. Okay, the next one I want to mention, Shutterfly. Most people know Shutterfly is a photo, you know, print service. They have something called Shutterfly Share Sites. That's a mouthful. These are actually really good. They're kind of perfect for a live ball study. The reason they have them out there is because they want groups to kind of create a site and then share photos, and then they have a bunch of buttons to buy photos. However, there's a lot more to it, and there's it's really nice because you put photos up here, and they have little modules, and you don't see it here, but there's little sections all over the page, and you can like add a module, and it comes up with a list of like 20 different modules, and there's an events module, there's a birthdays module, there's just all sorts of modules for really useful scenarios, and you can make it look however you want to, and you can move things to the top and the right and the bottom. And we use this tool in a live bubble study I was in previously for 2-3 years. It worked out great. So it does pictures, videos, calendar, signups. It does polls, which is kind of cool. Custom text, you can just type something and, you know, like prayer requests, and it'll put it right there front and center. You can upload files if maybe whoever does your prayer request does a Word doc or something like that. And then lots more. I haven't talked a whole lot about social media. There's another session specifically for Facebook, and the second session, if you want to learn more about using that. One of the reasons I haven't really covered that is because I'm trying to talk about just kind of more of a big picture of technology. But Facebook's a great tool, right? There's a lot of people on it. It's very easy to use. There's Facebook groups. If you're not aware, it's just a way to set up a group for your LBS. We use it in the Oaks, like I'll say, that I'm a part of. It works good because, you know, people are able to, you know, send out requests and say what's going on. We post our prayer requests there. I put our podcast on there. So everything's just kind of centralized in Facebook, and you can send messages to people that are on there. It does have shortcomings, though. You can do events, but the events are really limited. You can't do, like, recurrence. It's really only for, like, we're going to have a play date, or we're going to meet up for fellowship Saturday for lunch or something like that. Are you going to go, yes or no? And you can't really get email addresses. It's just like send a Facebook message. And so if not all your class is on there, you're going to not be able to reach everyone. So again, I think Facebook is a good tool to augment what you're doing elsewhere. It's just kind of icing on the cake. And then other tools, honorable mention, Yahoo Groups has something that's very similar to Group Spaces with a lot of little features. Yahoo Groups is pretty interesting because it's kind of like Google Groups with the email functionality, but it also has like a website that can do other stuff. So it's interesting, worth checking out. There's another site called Social Go that's kind of a community group site. And then there's WordPress.org. This is for more of a custom implementation. If you have somebody that's techie in your live Bible study that kind of wants to take this and run with it, that's a good option to kind of let them go there. But WordPress.org, it's really nice because there's a lot of easy plugins and they can just drop things and design it. It's a little bit more techie, but it's still very easy to use, and you can accomplish pretty much anything you would want to. And then obviously, you know, if you have someone in your class that just wants to go crazy and do something custom, then you can always do that. Okay, so we have coming up right on time. I'm going to go through these very quick. So miscellaneous tools, I just have two miscellaneous tools I want to point out. Doodle, this is really cool. If you have something that you're trying to find out when everybody can come there and like you're trying to have dinner or with a community group and like, hey, you know, we need to find a date that works for everybody, a date and a time. That can be hard. There's a lot of emails back and forth. Doodle's great for that. Put a list of the people on the rows and the times on the right side, and then it'll tell you the common, uh, the common ones that, that everybody can make it. This other one, okay, I like this one, I like data, but if you're working with, if you're getting really into like, you know, using Google Sheets or Excel and working with data and you have like a men's list and a women's list, and maybe you're keeping a list of the people that are coming to this, you know, the fellowship event or something like that. This is kind of a data tool, and Jamie would probably appreciate this, but it's a nice online website. It's at nimbletext.com/set, and it's very easy. You can just put a list of things on the left, put a list of things on the right, and then you can click these four buttons to show only the things that are on the left, but not the right, only things that are right and not the left, a list of the common elements, things that are in both sides, and so it's an easy way to kind of get a final result set. It's just I like to use it for some things. I told my wife, and she's like, I use it. Okay, so we're running really low on time. I've done a few demos along the way, so I'm going to just get past that. I guess I want to mention real quick, there's this really cool book. It's called From the Garden to the City by this guy named John Dyer. He's went to DTS. He works there right now. And this book kind of talks about technology in the context of ministry. It's kind of a philosophy-ish book, but he makes some really good points. And it's a good read. And the thing that I want to kind of pull out of it to present today is that he talks about the medium, you know, that we use technology for different things. He said that the medium, it definitely has some implications. So it communicates meaning. So a quick example of that is you sign up for a service online. And if you got an email saying, hey, thanks for signing up from one service, and then you got a handwritten note from another one, the difference of those two things is huge, right? So the medium in which you're using technology or doing things really matters. And when people receive that, they know that there was thought, there was care behind that. So in the context of a life Bible study, I think it's important to realize that you need to think about the implications of using technology. What kind of meaning is that communicating? What kind of care consideration is that providing? And then creates culture. I won't go into that too much, but I put that on there. It's just, this is kind of like, you can create some, you know, dissonance and, you know, between cultures, like, you know, people, you know, some people, the younger generations are using texting all the time, and maybe I'm more of like an email person or social media or things like that. So just kind of be aware that you don't want technology to be a divide and to kind of be, oh, this is the class that uses all that stuff that I don't really understand. Like, you need to be thinking about that. I'll skip that last section. So this is the slide again for, I think, slow that date. The URL for my slides, if you want to get the slides, and then my email address. Feel free to email me if you have any follow-up questions or something that I didn't cover, or something that I said that's not on the slides. I try to put most of what I said on the slides, and there's also speaker notes when you pull up the slides, so you can kind of see some of what I mentioned. And then, so
can you go back to HTTP?
Yeah, sure, sorry. It's just http://goo.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. So we're right at time. It's 8:56. I know we have the next session coming up soon, but are there any questions, anything that somebody wants to mention, the ways that y'all have used technology in the context of life Bible study that you want to share, I think would be helpful? I think we want to, you know, open that up for any thoughts there.
Just one, in terms of introducing or using these, anybody, have you found that you've had to go through a little tutorial? I mean, in terms of, obviously, well, you got to download this app, or you got to work that. I mean, has it typically been so obvious it's like falling off a log, or has it been a situation where you kind of have to work through?
So learning curve and using some of these
new tools.
How's
that worked in terms of just getting the class on board, or is it, like, I could picture, you know, in our group that might take that, you know, if you were 25-year-old, it might give it a go, I got it, you know.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's a good consideration. I mean, I think, you know, there's probably going to be, you know, some maybe different learning curve levels. You know, these young people pick up stuff so quick, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you know, most of the tools have gotten pretty user friendly these days. I mean, there's pretty good help for most of what I mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, there's usually a big help button that kind of walks you through the process, and you know, there's YouTube videos out there just say how to use Sign Up Genius, and then somebody, like, you know, it's a video and it's very easy.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of resources out there. You know, use Google to find the help sections and just kind of, you know, set aside some time and realize, you know, it's going to take a little while to kind of get your head around it. But then, you know, communicate that to your class. Say, hey, you know, I use, this tool's great. You know, like, you might think it's weird or hard to use, but trust me, I've used it and it's great. And, you know, so just kind of get your class on board and communicate that, you know, it'd be good to use.
I think kind of along what he was asking, do you market your websites? Like, where do you put, hey, this is our Facebook page, or, I mean, for somebody first coming in or trying to get access to the different places, do you water it on the whiteboard? Or?
That's a great question. A lot of these tools, like MailChimp, Google Groups, you can put footers on there. So whenever you send out communication, it can say, hey, be sure to check out our Facebook page or check out our website. So that goes on everything that goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Something else was whenever you have visitors come into your class, what we have done in the past is we have kind of like a visitor's
gift
kit or a gift. Or, you know, like, we have like a little,
like,
you
give them like a
lollipop or something.
You know, it's a Joy. You stopped in, it's an almond Joy bar. And it's got
a
sticker on it.
And there's a little sticker.
And it's got the email address of like some one of the leaders, and then it's got the website.
Exactly. So you can kind of put your website address there or something.
Yeah.
So it's a nice little way to kind of connect them. And then
like, you use the popcorn bags. Thanks for popping in. You know, so we do like,
or you can do that.
What else you got?
So we do crosses. Like we go to. What's that Christian bookstore out by Katie? That's really
like
Mardell's.
Mardell's.
Or they have like cross keychains or cross ornaments or things. You say, glad you crossed our path. And then we put like the Bible study group, our Bible study name, the website, and email, like whoever. So that's the stuff we've done.
Okay.
Not so much in our class, though, with the class. Like,
yeah, right.
That split off and became this class.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
We have
other
stuff we do. I forget what we have now.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of creative ways you can do that. So it's 9 o'clock. The second sessions are starting really soon. So
I want to go.
Giveaway.
Oh. I have two giveaway. One giveaway. Someone can answer questions. I'm gonna say. What's a good question? Who? Oh gosh. Does anybody have a question?
What number am I thinking of?
What's that? How old am I? Who can guess within a range of 3 years?
36.
42.
34.
43. 33. 19. He got it first.
19.
I'm 34. He got it 36.
Yeah.
It was within 3 years, so.
I said 30.
It would be fair if I guessed 42.
You said it at the same time?
Here, I'll give you half of it.
Cut the car.
Sorry.
Here you go.
Thanks, y'all, for coming. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I talked to her. She said 42.
Is everybody excited?
Just go to the website. It's free.
Yeah. Yes.
That was good, Ray.
Thank you.
No, I'm going to.
I don't hold your arms.
What's that?
I don't hold your arms.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to push it a little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to think of one of those.
Straight with like.
You're a homie girl.
This is insane. Uber went live in Nairobi on Wednesday. That's
hilarious.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Oh, we need to stop that.
You want me to turn
it? You should have told them they are recording that microphone is very sensitive. And if you start recording, it'll pick up every conversation in the classroom.